just as the seventh day is the Sabbath after 6 days of work, the pastoral staff of Megumi Church are given a paid holiday or sabbatical leave in their seventh year of work to continue their work in their lives. This may be an unfamiliar word, but it comes from the word Latin word for Sabbath in the Bible. It started at Harvard University in 1880 and has spread to companies and universities in various countries since the 1990s. This year marks the seventh year for both myself and Reverend Hong, so I also took a sabbatical leave this summer, and I was able to go to Nepal, where Reverend Lee Chan and his wife are, and also I went to Korea, where my relatives, Reverend Sung Nan and his wife, and everyone at the Daiban Church and Ongsang Church are. I was able to see the construction of the church in church buildings at both Chutari Community Church in Nepal and Daibam Church in Korea. Let me show you some photos. In the left-hand side is a building in construction. On the right-hand side is the complete building. On the right-hand side, you see there is a worship hall inside, and we are having a worship service. And this is the picture of the Nepal. Now, next is the picture of the Daiban Church in South Korea. And it was under construction. And there was no electricity inside the building because of the construction. So I took a photo from outside. And this is the worship hall of the Daiban Church. And Pastor Kim made a report of the church in Nepal. And now thinking about the buildings, design can convey the intention of the designer, right? The company's philosophy and vision and the work they're focusing on and their value. This is because design is a visualization of plans, intentions, and ideas. So, what plan of salvation, gospel message, and value of the kingdom of God are contained in the history of the birth of Jesus, which was designed by the Creator and Sovereign God, who began the history of salvation? In particular, what does the baby Jesus lying in the manger mean to me? Or to us? Let's discover this together from the Word of God. Let's read today's passage. Today's passage is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields of nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." If we look at verses 1 through 2, Today's content begins with the decree of Emperor Augustus to take a census of the whole world. Augustus is a title meaning eminence, and his name actually was Octavianus, who became the first emperor of the Roman Empire. And after his father-in-law, Julius Caesar, was assassinated, Rome fell into a state of civil war. Octavianus ended the civil war and brought peace. So people called this, called his becoming emperor gospel, and even called him the Prince of Peace and Savior. And also, because his father-in-law, Caesar, was declared God by the Roman Senate, Augustus was also called the Son of God. Through the decree of Augustus, the first Roman emperor, who was called by the exact same title as Jesus Christ, God the Father, begins the history of the birth of Jesus, the true Prince of Peace, Savior, and Son of God, and the fulfillment of the promise of the birth of the Savior. Luke, the author of this gospel, contrasts these two men and directs our eyes to Jesus, the true Prince of Peace, Savior, and Son of God, the census of the entire world. The purpose was to collect taxes and conscript soldiers. It was a large-scale, time-consuming task, but in accordance with Augustus' decree, which is a sign of his power and confidence, everyone returns to their hometowns. And it is recorded in verses 4 and 5, and Joseph and Mary were among them. Would have been fine for only for the male head of the household to register as a resident. Mary was pregnant, but they went together. I imagine that there must have been misunderstandings and bad rumors about Mary in Nazareth. And probably because of that, there was no place for her to stay and no one to rely on, and they were worried about leaving her behind. So Joseph took Mary and traveled through Nazareth to Bethlehem. The distance was about 150 kilometers. Moreover, the altitude, the height of Nazareth is 400 meters high. But the Bethlehem is a little higher, at about 775 meters high. It was a town on a hill higher than Nazareth. My navigation system said that it was about 51 kilometers from Tsuchiura Megumi Church to Kameari, and it would take 16 hours on foot. Since it took 3 days to travel 50 kilometers a day, I think the journey with pregnant Mary would have taken a lot longer. However, Joseph protected Mary, and he was close by her, and they traveled with faith in the news of the birth of Jesus from the angel and the promise of the prophecy that they heard about. Although they appear to be traveling according to the decree of Augustus, in fact, they were led by God, following the word of God. God is the center of our world and is the center of history. So they followed the word of God. We as Christians need to believe our steps are in the Lord's plan and hands. So they traveled to Bethlehem. In verses 6 through 7, the birth of Jesus the Savior is recorded. God the Father, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, finally brings Savior, who will save all mankind, onto the stage of history. But God's design of history is astonishing. The Savior was born and laid in a manger, which is typically dirty, smelly. In the play about the birth of Jesus, it is often depicted that Mary gives birth to Jesus in a stable because there are no vacancies in any of the inns. However, in my biblical archaeology class I took at TCU, it looks like this picture that I have on the screen. This is what I learned in my class at TCU. Here's the genkan, and there is the courtyard. Then there is a living room, and there is a kitchen there. And there is a rooftop, and the right-hand side. And there was a stable. And there was, this is a kind of a typical house at biblical time. So there was made of brick, and it was a two-story typically, and livestock were also valuable. And if they were kept outside, they could be stolen. So they are often kept inside the house. And so in this picture, as you can see, the animal shed is immediately to the right as you enter from the entrance. And each house had a space like a guest room to entertain guests. When I go to Korea, I often stay in my relative's house. When I told them I was coming again this time, my mother's older brother, who's like an uncle to me, prepared a space for me in his house, and I stayed there. In verse 4 of today's passage, it says that Joseph was of David's family and returned to the city of David. So I think he probably visited a relative's house. However, it was a time when everyone had returned to their hometowns. So even though Mary was pregnant, there was no space left in the relative's house, and there was only a livestock shed. In other words, I imagine that she was not welcomed, unlike when she went to see Elizabeth. And so in verse 6 it says, while they were there, I think Mary gave birth to Jesus there after spending a few days there. Today, when a baby is born, you know, it usually is the baby is washed and wrapped in clean cloth and laid in a clean sanitary environment, right? That's what we take for granted. Although there may be differences depending on the environment and circumstances in which the baby is born, I don't think the baby is laid in a manger or in a place where livestock are fed. Moreover, it was probably a cold manger made of stone. So there was no pomp or joy of the birth of a king here, and no warmth. All that exists is the reality that no one welcomes a Savior, and there is no space to welcome him anywhere. John chapter 1, verse 11 says, John chapter 1, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It describes how some people did not accept Jesus. Even though the Israelites had been waiting for the Messiah for many years, who would save them and give them freedom and peace, the reason was that not a single person had imagined that their Savior would be born in a dark, cold, dirty stable and laid in a manger. Their imagined ideals did not match reality. For them, Augustus was closer to their ideal Savior than Jesus, and he became their standard. What about us? We say we need the Lord. We need salvation. But do we welcome and accept Jesus? Who, as in Philippians chapter 2, was in the form of God. But who, for our sake, abandoned his divine form, emptied himself, took on the form of servant, became like us, humbled himself, even lying in a manger. Are we seeking the words we want to hear, not the words Jesus gave us? And today's passage asks us whether we are aware the Savior is right in front. In chapter 2, Luke uses the phrase, in a manger, three times, emphasizing that Jesus, who lay in the manger, is our Savior. So why did God design the birth of His only Son, Jesus, in this way? What does it mean for us that God laid Jesus in a manger? When I look at the structure of the houses in Israel, I thought it represented us as humans. There are parts that can be shown to others, clean spaces that can welcome others. But there are also dark, cold, dirty spaces like animal sheds that cannot be shown to others, cannot be told about, and are usually covered. Shabby, miserable spaces full of sin, self-centeredness, hurt, pain, anger, dissatisfaction, fear, etc. I think everyone has a space that they want to clean, but cannot do anything about. You know, many people reveal themselves in the social networking service sites on the internet, but we have parts of us that we don't share with others. Today's passage is right there, as our Savior who died on the cross in our lowest place, in our shabby and miserable place, to forgive our sins, as our King, so that we can no longer live self-centered but God-centered, as the healer who heals our wounds, to turn anger into joy, discontent into gratitude, to transform fear into peace and blessings. But that's what our Savior does for us. Through today's passage about the birth of Jesus, God shows that and teaches us that there is no place where Jesus cannot be hope, no place where He cannot shine as light, and no person who He cannot bring to life. It is in the darkness that light stands out, shines brightest, and demonstrates its true potential. I went to Nepal, as I said earlier, in September. On the second day after arrival in Nepal, after the early morning prayer meeting, we went together to see the progress of the church construction and to choose lighting for the church. We went to a store, and then in the afternoon, we went to a church member's house for Bible study. This is what Megumi Church calls a home meeting. The family raised livestock and vegetables and lived in a tin house. Like an Israeli house, the house had a livestock shed. When you first entered, and then there was a room in the back. It was a family of four with two cute elementary school-aged daughters. And as soon as we entered the house, they welcomed us, let us sit in the special seats, and treated us to drinks and food. Compared to the environment we are used to here in Japan, the environment was not very clean. And Richan sensei told me not to drink the water. Richan sensei was teaching in Nepal, so I did not understand most of what he said, but he translated sometimes in English. Even so, children and adults alike were happy to read the word with all their might, listen to the message, praised and prayed without being bound by poverty or their environment. I was amazed at the sight of each and every person truly happy to have met Jesus and been saved. I was moved in ways that cannot be expressed in words, and at the same time I was approached with a question, what about me? I was filled with gratitude. I was invited to a place filled with the joy of having Jesus with me. It was an unforgettable day, experiencing the joy and foretaste of heaven and experiencing today's passage of the Word in a real way. Although the 2 weeks in Nepal were physically difficult, spiritually I was encouraged by the church members in Nepal, and it was a wonderful time I had. So, it was a wonderful 2 weeks in Nepal. I was loved by people. Paul may have had similar experiences when he was evangelizing. That's what I thought. I think that Mary and Joseph were anxious at first when they saw Jesus lying in the manger. They may have wondered if this child was really the Savior, the Christ. But the angels had told the shepherds in verses 11 through 12 that the baby lying in the manger was a sign that he was their Savior. Then when they saw the shepherds come and worship the baby, and the wise men come and worship him, and offer him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I think Mary and Joseph gradually began to feel more joy, gratitude, and expectation for the fulfillment of God's promise. It took the disciples a while to accept Jesus as a Savior in the true sense of the word. It may take us a while, too. But just as God sent the shepherds and wise men to Mary and Joseph, God will transform us into people who can accept Jesus, although it may take time. Jesus has already come to our manger, and He is still with us now. God is changing us from inside out and giving us life through Jesus, whom He sent deep into our hearts. Let us look at the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. 4 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of Jesus shined deep within us. What do we believe? What do we hope for? What kind of love do we live by? What hurts us? What are we running away from? What worries us? What sins do we harbor? What do we hope to be? What do we long for? Where are we heading? Christmas is the time when we welcome Jesus Christ, who came to the manger, into the darkest darkness of each of us, and are illuminated by His light, come to know our true selves, know that we are loved by God's great love, and come to know our great God. As Paul confessed in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, instead of trying to be right, believing in our own words, and relying on our own strength, we should confess, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And we hope that we experience this feeling more and more in our daily walk. And let us be transformed together into those who run toward the Lord, who live with the Lord, who is Emmanuel, and who prays and worships the Lord. Now let me pray.